I got the thumbs up from the man. You know who. Well, first, it's Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. Man, thumbs up, yes, from producer Jacob on today's producer's choice. But first, Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, Jacob, how are you guys doing?
Johnny, lead us off.
Yeah, man, I'm doing great. You know, it's what they call dead week here at my campus. You know, and I learned early in my career adjustment from the Midwest to the West that this dead week thing isn't Grateful Dead week.
I was going to say Jerry Garcia or what?
Showed up for a class my first dead week in my tie dye and my Grateful Dead gear and they said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I heard it's dead week." And they said, "No, it's dead week because it's the week before finals." And I said, "Oh, what does that mean?" They said, "Well, it means the week that there's nothing going on." And I was like, "Is that correct?" And a bunch of other students said, "No, it's the week that kills you. That's why it's called dead week." So I think that one student didn't get the memo. And I like his version of dead week almost better than I'd like my original version of it's the week we celebrate the Grateful Dead. But no, it's dead week. So, you know, just buried and work. But I love it. You know, it's time to, you know, make sure all the missing assignments are turned in, make sure, you know, meetings with students to get the right courses for next semester are all finalized and that everything is all well as those students head off into their break after their finals next week. So it's an exciting week, but it's a busy one. How about you, Jacob? How are you doing?
Johnny, I'm just excited because I get the opportunity to interview two of my favorite people on their own show. And that, you know, that's just the biggest honor I think anybody could have, especially now that we're in December. And I'm feeling the holiday cheer now that we're getting into December. And frankly, I didn't want to tell you guys before the show started, but this is the first night of the 12 Busted Pencils episodes of Christmas.
Oh, I love this.
Can you believe it?
Jingle bells. Let's go.
Because today, gentlemen, is the Producer's Choice show for December 5th. Now, it's not 12 days until Christmas, but we do 4 shows a week. Boom, boom, boom. And up till Christmas Eve, that'll be 12 shows. So we're going to kick it off with our first show of the season.
For choo-choo, producer, Jacob's Choice, chairman of the board. Ow!
You now have two choices.
Chairman of the board, Jacob.
Ow! Jacob, chairman of the board.
I bet the board is spelled B-O-R-E-D.
We choose to go to the moon.
Life's full of tough choices, isn't it?
You chose poorly.
So here we are, December 5th. It's December, folks, and that means one thing and one thing only. Yes, you got that right. People are finally getting their Spotify yearly Wrapped report.
Oh, boy.
Now, what is the Spotify Wrapped, you may ask? Well, I'll tell you, it's a cynical viral marketing scheme crafted by the Spotify mega corporation that encourages their users to share an annual report of their music listening habits over the course of the previous year. Now, while this obviously has the effect of spreading their brand free of charge, it also is a lot of fun and a good excuse for people to talk about music again. So, folks, my first question is very simple. Do you guys use this service that we will not continue to name due to not wanting to give any more free advertising? But do you use this service and did you get your annual yearly listening reports? I'm going to start with you, Tim.
No, I don't. I don't listen to Spotify. I got to tell you, this has been a year of not a whole lot of music listening in the Slecker household. Lots of other things going on. You know, without giving promotions to other things, but my listening now is when I drive to my office, and I've got my father-in-law's van that was, you know, given to us with inheritance, I got a Lifetime Sirius XM subscription. And so, you know, I between channel 33 and channel 34, back and forth, that's my listening the past year. And that would be, you know, channel 33. Johnny, you know it? You know it? New wave hits of the 80s. And channel 34, Lithium. All 90s, all the time.
Now, is that named after, you know, the Lithium from the 90s?
I got to think it's coming from the Lithium. Yeah, that would be Nirvana. It's really good to you know, put that out. But, yeah, that's been my listening. So I'm listening to throwbacks to the 80s and not big hair 80s, but New Wave, the Cure, Duran Duran, and then all the 90s grunge. So no Spotify.
Tim, I appreciate that you're keeping it old school. You're dusting off your record collection, and you've still kept track of who you're listening to this year, so that's still good. Dr. Johnny, how about you? Are you taking out the 8-tracks, or do you have some sort of digital service? What are you doing?
Oh, man, I have all of it, Jacob. It's so distracting. I actually didn't know. I figured Spotify Wrapped had come out because just this week, maybe it was yesterday, I was on my Apple. We're giving all kinds of free advertisement today. It's the giving season here on Busted Pencils. But I was on my Apple account, and it gave me a similar version of that. It was like the yearly report or something, and my I don't think it's even called iTunes anymore, but in my Apple
Music
stuff, Apple Music, yeah, that listened to a couple old guys talk about newer technology. That's how dated we are. But Spotify Wrapped, I enjoy that. So I use streaming services in different contexts. So Apple is my phone one and my main go-to, like when I connect in the car, right? When I'm not using the Civic Media app, which actually, and like no intended plug here, works really well in my CarPlay. Like the app like has a little logo right on my little screen, and boom, I can tap and either listen to a live, you know, radio stream, or I can go over and head to podcasts and grab those. But I do use Spotify quite a bit to stream in my classroom. And it's a service that I utilize for, you know, shared playlists that students contribute to and sort of the background music as you enter the classroom. And I have it often playing, you know, throughout the house or in, you know, my office when I'm working. So Spotify gets a lot of play. It doesn't necessarily best represent my favorites as much, although I'm so curious that I tried to get it pulled up for this show when you started talking about it. And I needed to re-download an update. I needed to do updates because I guess it's only available on the app. I started to do an update. My connection severely severed as the download started. And I said, I better abandon that during the live show here. And we can do Spotify Wrapped later. But I'm always curious, what are my top listen to things? And disappointingly, I'll make a prediction. Disappointingly, every year in my Spotify, the stuff that gets the most, like it's the top, is all like this spa lo-fi mix kind of stuff that I play to help me focus at work or when I'm writing or when I'm just, you know, doing like the grunt work of replying to emails, you know, drafting different documents for, you know, curriculums that are changing or, you know, reviewing syllabi, all the kind of professorial work that the background music helps me do. So, and then I have to scroll, I have to go way down and say, what did I actually listen to? And what did my students impose on me? And what are my favorites? But yeah, Jacob, so I have my Apple one going. I know my year in review in Apple, which I think is pretty accurate to the things I really dug this year. And I believe I'm going to butcher the name of the album because you put me on the spot. Now I'm like, Tim, I have all this anxiety about being in.
We're all friends here, Johnny. Here. List, it's just you, me, and our millions of listeners.
Yeah, it's just everybody. But the top album of the year for me was Bon Iver, Sable Fable, the newest one with local Wisconsins, you know, that's a Wisconsin favorite band. You know, I'm saying that. I just assume you love the hometown guy, even though his latest record comes from his experiences. I say once you're a Great Laker, you're always part of the Great Lakes. So he still probably carries that in, but his stint in LA now. But yeah, that whole album was top listened to album for me. And I believe also the favorite song, the most listened to song on my Wrapped was Things Behind Things by Bon Iver. Interesting, Tim, too. You'll like this throwback. The next most listened to album for me, it kind of caught me off guard, but I'm like, yeah, I actually do put that album on a ton, was Greatest Hits Smashing Pumpkins. This year was nice. Like a return to Smashing Pumpkins year for me, a little nostalgia. You know, I'm still great music and they have re-released some of their albums recently, but you know, I don't know why that the Greatest Hits album this year, I found it on my Apple and it's just like constantly been going both my Apple and Spotify. Another big one, Noah Kahan and Gracie Abrams. Those are big artists that have been popping up in my rap or my Apple version of rap. And then I'm anticipating after, you know, these 30 songs have been played nearly a million times because this guy always has spa music going on in the back room. So I could get like scroll through all those and then I'll probably get to similarly those artists. I generally play a lot of Mac Miller in my classroom and Billy
Pittsburgh,
Eilish.
Pittsburgh.
Yeah, that's right. Mac so Miller. I don't know, Jacob, if that does that answer your that tackles the first question on today's producer's choice adequately, sir.
It answered and then it answered and it answered and answered. It I thought that was a great answer, Johnny. I mean, it
kept going. We thought it was the whole show was Johnny talking about Spotify and Apple Music.
You read every track on every album you listened to this year, and I enjoyed that. I think it's a good time to listen to those to that Greatest Hits. You know, you could listen to it tonight.
Hey.
Great time for that.
Nice.
I had a similar thing that happened to me because my number one artist was Blink 182, as it is every year. Top 5% or listener. I'm going to put that on my motorcycle jacket. I'm a 0.5%er. But the rest of my top five or whatever was all the random playlist stuff I have play when I wake up in the morning. So I was like, I don't actually like any of this. I used to have a problem where I would pick songs I like to be my alarm, and then I hated them because I would associate them with having to wake up in the morning. So I said, oh, give me some random stuff I don't even listen to. Yay, that'll work. All right, we're almost out of time for today, so I'll ask the first real education-based question. I want to ask you guys this, and we'll start with you, Johnny, because you're pretty hot right now, I feel. What's your policy on students having their headphones in during a class? Some kids say that listening to music helps them focus on their work. Other people say it's a big distraction. How do you feel about that?
I'm going to say that I think Johnny feels very stoically about that right now. that, you know, I mean, sometimes that's the way Johnny gets, Jacob. He has to think very, very, you know, deeply. But I'm thinking Johnny's deep thinking's over right now.
I mean, it's always going. It's always a constant battle, whether I can like get out what I'm actually thinking or if the thinking's in conflict with what I'm saying. It's a hot mess in there. Hey, Jacob, this is a great question. I students asked me about this year. So we had like a real big class discussion around this because I noticed increasingly it's more and more common for students to wear not whole headphones. Like that's kind of a little bit distracting. Like I'm talking and you have headsets on, unless somehow I have some kind of mic to what you're listening to. I'm pretty sure you're drowning me out. So it's a more of a, like a communication of I'm not paying attention, but I noticed that students wear their AirPods or a similar kind of thing. And generally I asked them about this. I said, you know, like, I notice you don't have two in, like when you're in class, like I can tell you're not listening to music, but it's in. I mean, it's something that a generation of students, and I don't even want to place around age. I think it's kind of a becoming more of a thing that it's constantly just in your ear, like you keep it in. So I do have students who have that, and I don't seem to mind that at all because I can see that they're paying attention, or maybe they're pretend paying attention and listening to, you know, something else. But I think they just keep it in. I know some students utilize the translation. There's translation software in AirPods that I have a couple of international students who said, you know, to me that they actually use them to translate what I'm saying. And I was like, no way, come on, it can do that. And I turned into a real old geezer in the classroom, but it actually works really well. And so they're doing that. And then, you know, in general though, Jacob, I ask students, hey, when you're here, be present as a listener and participating in a conversation with your peers. I try to make it not a power struggle. Like, it's, if you want to ignore me, you're welcome to. I'm not here to control what you hear and don't hear. But in general, like, I think I'll keep it to a minimum, not like on this show where I go on and on. I was like, I have classroom timer. It's 12 minutes, and my direct instruction has to fit into the 10-minute to 12-minute mark. And I have a clock that goes, so they know, like, it's going to end soon. It's not endless. But I ask them not to have them in class, and I try really hard to not make that a power struggle. For the most part, students have them off. And then I have had students who say, I can hear you, but I keep these on because it's more comfortable for me. And I'm thinking, okay, on the inside, I'm like, really? Like, you wear headphones as a comfort item? I'm not here to get in. That's a choose your battles thing. I'm like, okay, as long as you're doing good and you can participate, whatever you need for comfort, go for it. But in general, I ask them to try and not, like, hey, take out the, I call them Bluetooths just because I like to make fun of myself for being old. I say, hey, take out those Bluetooths when you're in class. And they're like, nobody calls them Bluetooths. What are you talking about? Hmm. So you have your headphones in. What are you listening to? They're like, nothing. They just stay there. I'm like, okay. You know, and then I try and make a joke of it.
My professor said I have blue teeth.
Remember when people would have, like, the, when it was new, and they'd have a little hook around their ear and
turn off your Bluetooth headsets. We're trying to learn here.
Yeah.
Grumpy old man.
I think that's a great policy, Johnny, but I want to run it up the chain first to my other trusted advisor, Dr. Tim Slucker. What's your feeling about earbuds in the classroom, Tim? Some people, like I said, a little bit of a tune at a low level that helps me focus, tune out the extra stuff. Other people say it's a big distraction. What do you think, Tim?
If we're just talking about, like, an accoutrement, I'm always with the toothpick. You know,
I like that.
Keep it, you know, I mean, right there, you want to keep that going. What Johnny was saying, some of them just like to wear it, like, you know, like, I'm like, it made me think, I'm like, okay, so, like, you know, when I keep my toothpick in my mouth, I'm not picking my teeth. It's just something that, you know, hangs out in my mouth. Okay. So now kids are, you know, I'm not listening to anything. My earbud's just hanging out in my ear, you know. I don't know. You know what, Jacob? I got to tell you that I don't buy the I'm listening to music and it helps me pay attention. you know, I'm like, no. So from that standpoint, if somebody said, you know, hey, I when I'm listening to, Billy Corgan, jamming out, I mean, that just helps me pay attention to you, Dr. Slecker. I'm like, no, check it out. Like, take your earbud out and listen to me. And then afterwards we'll jam some Smashing Pumpkins together and hang out. But the other thing though, and Johnny mentioned this, I had thought about this, but now, from the standpoint of, multiple language translation, I could definitely see that. And, being a little bit more on the potentially innovative side, I was even thinking I might have my earbud in with an AI agent that is translating, you know, Slecker's dense, verbose lecture into things that actually make me understand what the heck he's talking about. I don't know that that's actually out there or happening yet, but that would be kind of interesting if the student would say, hey, look, like Dr. Slecker, when you talk, like, I never understand what you're saying. And so I got an earbud AI translator that takes Slecker verboseness and turns it into things I can understand. I could see that happening in the future. And if that's the case, interesting. But no, you're listening to music during my me spouting off about something doesn't work, man.
Tim, I actually use that all the time because you guys start talking about pedagogy and all this nonsense words. I'm like, okay, Claude, break it down for me. What's he talking about? Give it to me in English.
Pedagogy.
Here you go again. Listen, Mr. Harvard. All right. I can't follow all this, all your pedagogy. But the point is, guys, this is really the big point of the show, is that we're running out of time for this episode. That's sort of the overarching theme of the episode. So I'm going to give you, Dr. Tim Slecker, I'm going to give you 2 minutes to answer this very big, important question I say for the end. Hey, guys, what role does music education play? And what role do you think that music education should play? Tim, 2 minutes. Ooh. I'm sure that's plenty of time.
That is, as we always point out on this show, the essential curriculum that, for sad other reasons, people call it an extra. And we've pointed out that, music should be the essential part of a curriculum, because, you know, it really does give that ability to sometimes, you know, music is just that other way that some people get deeper understanding, create meaning. And, you know, the other thing is just for pure enjoyment. So an education without music, not very educational.
Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, tell us about music education and why you think it's important. And tell us about your Spotify Wrapped after the show. Phones down, please.
Yeah, man.
Exactly. Class.
Phones down. Distractions off. My download came through. My update's complete, and now I have my Spotify Wrapped. Jacob, much like Tim said, music education, such a core part of being, you know, like, pun fully intended, maybe it's not even pun, appropriate metaphor, in harmony as a learning group in classrooms, you know, complements, whether we're learning math, English, English language arts, any of the subject areas, you know, when we engage with the creative aspects of things as they relate to those content areas, it's huge. So whether it's, you know, just music class, like if you're in elementary school and you get to have a music teacher and you get to do all those fun activities at least once a week when you go to your specials, but as it's woven into our daily lives, right? Listening to music, having kinds of music that you like, telling stories through music, you know, sharing all of that, such an important part of different cultures and sharing our human experience, that it's like Tim said, like, and we always like to say here at Busted Pencils, these aren't extracurriculars. They're essential curriculars. They're part of how we learn and communicate together. So big fan of music education, and love that it exists not only in our schools, but in all of our lives, because you think about it, you carry, you know, your passion for what you listen to, for like the soundtracks of your life, everywhere you go throughout life. It isn't just something like that you did in fifth grade or as a subject in seventh or eighth grade, or maybe you were in band or not in band in high school. Music still plays a role. Like, there's a soundtrack to different moments in your life, and it's so important. And it's like shared joys, shared sorrows, all of those things. Jacob, so I'm a big fan of it. No surprise there. And always advocating it for to be more part of everyday learning in classrooms, right? Like, how can the music we listen to there, I'm gonna drop the big word, be part of the pedagogy, whether it's like hip-hop pedagogies, punk rock pedagogies. And fun fact, Jacob, the reason Tim and I know each other in Busted Pencils capacity is because we were doing a podcast together about punk rock and teaching. So music brought us together, right? So it's part of our soundtrack. Love the topics today, Jacob. 12 shows till Christmas. Let's go.
First of the 12 shows of Christmas, and I think we got off to a great start with Tim and Johnny coming on their own show for an interview. Unfortunately, there's only time for one last question that I'll ask.
Let's go!
This is our 60-second question. It's going to be a pretty simple one. Fellas, what's the best album ever in your opinion? For me, the answer is When Your Heart Stops Beating by Plus 44. Good band, formed by two-thirds of Blink-182. Really good stuff. Tim, I'm going to let you go ahead now, and I have no idea what your answer might be. Hit us with it.
Elton John's Greatest Hits 1. Got Daniel's song, Crocodile Rock. Man, talk about a soundtrack of my life. So there you go.
I think you're a little confused. Daniel Song was the protagonist of Karate Kid, I believe. Johnny, best album ever.
This literally short circuits my brain because there are so many that
he's
pop
like,
up.
I can't do it. I can't
like give me more criteria. I can't. But if I have to go with one today in this moment, Jacob, this is going to be a hot take. Paul's Boutique. Beastie Boys, Paul's Boutique, their sophomore album. I mean, it's one of my all-time favorites. So to me, I'm dropping it as of today, right now, on this special show. Paul's Boutique, Beastie Boys, best album ever. Let's go.
Very good.
That's a different album, but same band.
It's the only still one awesome. I had queued up, Johnny. Yeah. You got to understand. But thank you, Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, Dr. Tim Slecker. You've been awesome. And Tim...
And now it's time for your moment of zen. The future is an infinite succession of presents.
I'm just going to tell you, man, Christmas time, I want an infinite succession of presents, if you know what I mean. Coming up. Yeah. All right. Sorry.
No, absolutely. On that note, let's get everybody an infinite succession of presents. And thank you, listeners, for listening to this Busted Pencils producer choice episode. And remember, you can grab great podcasts packed with all kinds of Busted Pencils content on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and of course on Civic Media website or at bustedpencils.com. Hey, and don't be late for homeroom on Monday. And be sure that you grab next week's class in session on Wednesday. And if you don't already know, well, guess what? You're going to love this. You can catch Busted Pencils broadcast at 3 p.m. Central Time every Saturday across all the Civic Media Network stations for 1 hour of your favorite blue-collar scholars, Tim and Johnny, and keep busting pencils.